The line itself is very beautiful. Stay strong, keep your faith
alive.
Alive. It means there's no preaching or anything, just reinforces your own beliefs in yourself. Yeah. That is beautiful.
So I was actually very happy and touched because though our Vedic religion is Sanatan, it doesn't belong to one particular territory of the world, but still we feel that it belongs to us Indians. And when we see other so-called non-Indians taking the name of God, which so-called non-Indian God, we feel very proud. It is with me it happens. So when I saw so many so-called white bodies with love, at least I could feel it in them, the faith in their eyes when they are singing Jai Ram Ram Bolo. I was really, really, when I saw this, that what faith, what unity they had to come together, and they could have sung anything else. Nobody had told them to sing Ram's name. But that is what I wanted to bring, that Ramayana and Ram as a character around the world, wherever you go, in many different yogas, there will be controversies about different parts of or different gods and living gods. But when it comes to Ram, it's much more easily acceptable because of his character as Mariyada Purushottam, or an ideal character. And that's what we are going to talk today. Just because next week is Ramanavami, and it's very auspicious to talk about Lord and his pastimes and what lessons we learn from them. And when it is in relation to those festivals, when they come, when we talk, it is very beneficial. Personally, I can say that just for preparing this class, when I started listening to a few other lectures based on Ramayana, I started with Sita Devi's lecture, but then I went on and on and on. I just didn't want to stop. Like, so many beautiful lectures I could hear, and I'm just very happy about it. Whatever I can share today is just maybe a very small part what I could hear. But it's very happy. It's very, you feel very satisfied when you listen to that. So, why we should talk about Lord, or maybe why we should talk about these glorious pastimes of which comes into our scriptures. And it is described in Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj tells in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that the only way, see, as a allopathic doctor, when a patient comes to me with fever or pain, what will I do? I'll give them painkiller or antipyretic, like just to control fever, right? But if I stop there, if I don't go into the root of the disease, it's not going to help the person or the patient, right? Similarly, Bhagavatam talks about going to the root of the disease. When we see in our life and around us, what we see is people trying to be happy in life. Everybody is trying to be happy in life, correct? And what most of the time we are trying to do is give symptomatic treatment. If you want education, you want degree, okay, work hard and get degree. But at the end of it, we realize we are not actually completely happy, we want something more. So we are trying to find the temporary solution for becoming happy or to the problems of life. But Bhagavatam, in one very beautiful shloka, comes up with this solution to life, life's problems, that what actually will bring happiness to our life. And that is this. In the Canto 2, Chapter 1, in 5th shloka, it is said by Parikshit Maharaj that when we hear, when we talk or speak, and when we remember the beautiful pastimes of the Lord and His activities, that is the time when a person can actually be happy. So this is a translation. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, that is to speak, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is a super soul, the controller and savior from all miseries. This is the final remedy for becoming happy in our life. And practically speaking, take this as a maybe an experiment. One day you might be sad, or there may be some other crisis in life. And what can we do that time? We do chinta, right? Because we become very anxious, we get very tensed, and we start thinking, what will happen, what should I do? That time, maybe take out 10 minutes, 15 minutes and do chintan instead of chinta. Do chintan of Lord. Anyhow, chinta is not going to help us. By doing chinta or by becoming anxious and thinking about the problem, the solution doesn't come. So maybe just try giving this as an experiment. Take out 10-15 minutes and think about absolutely different thing. About one pastime of Krishna or Ram or whatever Lord you have faith. And put all your miseries on side for 15 minutes and read or talk or remember the pastimes of the Lord and see whether the chinta helps you or if chintan helps you. And obviously what helps us is chintan. Okay. Immediate relief we might not get from anything. The problem might still be there. But when we do chintan or when we remember the Lord, it gives solace to the heart and it will give strength to face and finally to come out of that so-called miserable situations. And that is what is described here. The final way of becoming happy is to hear, to speak, and to remember the pastimes of the Lord. And that's why what we are going to do is, though I'm sure each one of us know the Ramayana, I'm sure most of you or some of you might be knowing Ramayana even better than me, so I'm not going to speak something which will be new to you, but together we'll make an attempt to learn something which we can apply in our life and which will help us. This part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me come at the towards the end of the class. So in Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Ram, it is described, this is what Hanuman says, that it was ordained that Ravana, the chief of Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. All of you know this, right? That Ravana had taken a boon from Brahmaji that I should not be killed by any of the higher beings, Gandharvas and all the above planetary systems. But human beings, he thought they are so insignificant that he said, what, they are going to kill me? So he said, okay, living apart human beings, I don't care for them. It's like if I have to say, let me not be killed by an ant, as if I care for an ant, right? I'm so confident that an ant cannot kill me. Similarly was the Ravana's position. He said, let me not be killed by so many people, but he did not ask for a boon not be killed by a man. And that is why the Lord takes form of a normal, ordinary human being when it comes to kill or destroy Ravana. But that was not the reason. The reason which is mentioned here again is that was not the only reason. However, was Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is a cause of many miseries. His self-sufficient supreme personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by kidnapping of Mother Sita? So, as a ideal human being, he comes to show that even if he is Lord, he can create Sitas, what he has to depend on one Sita. But when he is acting as one mortal human being, your cause of attachment, whatever is the cause of attachment, will become the cause of the misery. Just wait for a moment. Introspect in your life. Think a time when you felt miserable. Think when you felt that world is going to end, or something you felt that worst thing has happened to you. And then you think why it happened to you. When you will think, you will come to know that it was your attachment to one thing. When our attachment is very strong to one particular thing or an object, it may be a person or it may be a thing, or it can be that attachment, when there is a fear of losing or when it is lost, that causes suffering. Things which you are not attached will not give you suffering. Example, your most dear person who is most dear to you, that person comes and gives you one bad word. Versus, you are going on a road and somebody who is walking next to you and he tells you the same bad word. How much does it make difference? Who cares if the person on the road tells anything to us? But something mild, even told to us by somebody who is very close to our heart, it pinches our heart so much. Reason being, attachment. More attached we are, more miserable we will become from the same subject. Sorry, from the same object. That is what the Lord wanted to teach by this. The person who has written Ramayana, Valmiki himself, there is another person called Pulatsi Muni. They have mentioned this, that Ramayana should also be called or can also be called as Sitayan. Why? It does not speak only about Ram, but is equally important to talk about Sita, character and teachings of Mother Sita's life. And that's why today I decided to talk not about Ram, but to Sita, but about Sita. Okay, who is Mother Sita? We all know that Sita is Lord's Ram's wife, consort, right? But to understand the nature or characteristic of that person is very important. It's described that Lord he expands himself into different personalities. As for example, if one person is alone versus one person has few people around to have relationship, you might have all the facilities in life, but you do not have anybody to talk or to smile at. Can a person be happy? No. What really gives happiness or satisfaction to the heart is relationship. What type of relation? Loving relations. That is the main thing in our life. The loving relationship only can give us satisfaction and happiness. And that comes from the Lord Himself. Lord, from Him comes so many different expansions. For what? So that He can have loving relationships. And the first expansion or the foremost expansion is His energy. Lord and His energy. And that's why Lord is called as energetic or the Shaktiman. And His energy is called as Shakti. Okay? Is the Lord or is the energy energetic same or they are different?
Different.
Or same? Dipti, is the energy or energetic same or different?
Same
and different. Okay. Is the sun and sunlight same or different?
Different.
Okay. When in the morning you see that the light is started coming, sunlight is coming, started coming in the house, what do we say? The sun is coming in the house. We don't say sunlight alone like that, okay? The mother usually say, utto utto, surya ghar pe a gaya, suraj a gaya, like that, right? Does it mean that the sun is actually coming in the house? If sun comes in the house, what will happen? We won't be there, right? But the sunlight comes and we feel the presence of sun itself, right? There is no difference between sun and sunlight. But at the same time, they are different. Because in one sense, what is sun? Different from a sunlight. Can sunlight exist without sun? No. At the same time, what is sun without sunlight? There is no identity. It means that they are actually different, but they are same. And that exactly is what energy and energetic means. Sunlight is the energy and the energetic is sun. There is no flame without fire. Can flame be without fire? No. Can fire be without flame? No. But they are different. Fire without flame is what? Smoke and ash. It's not fire. Similarly, it is described that Lord and His energy are same and different at the same time. And that's why it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, giving example of Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna aiche sada, ek is varup, lila rasa aswadite, thare dui rup. They are finally one swarup, Radha Krishna, Ram Sita, but lila rasa aswadite, thare dui rup. For having the rasa or mellow of loving relationship, thare dui rup, they take two different forms. And that is what is the energy, Mother Sita or Radha or material energy. Now when Lord expands into His energy, scriptures tell us that there are three different types of energy. One is called as external, one is called internal, and one is called marginal. External energy is described as Durga Devi. She is the controller of this material world. Internal energy is Lord's internal potency, is the one which gives pleasure potency of the Lord, which is also called as Ladini Shakti, which is like Radha or Sita. And marginal potency is
living entities.
Why we are marginal potency? And the example or analogy given is the sand on the shore of an ocean. Is it part of the ocean or it is part of the land? It can be on any side, correct? Same is our position. The jivatma or the living entities are marginal potencies. They can be on the material energy side or external energy side. They can be under the control of Durga Devi or they can go under the control of internal potency or Radharani, taking shelter of the Lord. It is our prerogative. We can decide which way we want to fall. And that is why we are called as marginal potency. So, Lord Mother Sita is the internal potency energy of the Supreme Lord.
Everybody knows?
Yes.
I'm stuck somewhere else. So you were saying initially we should not be attached and all that. And then you said loving relationships. We have spoken about this many times.
Okay. In short, while we talk about this, then maybe at the end again we can take this question again. That very nice question, very thought provoking, that you should have loving relationship, you should not be attached. Possible?
Yes.
At pure level it is possible. When we want to be attached, in our level, when we say we are attached to the happiness which we receive from this relationship, that happiness for ourselves. And that attachment from that loving relationship causes suffering. When we are attached with the mission of only giving pleasure to the other person, not receiving anything for ourselves, we will be attached, but we will not suffer. And that loving relationship is the supreme. So that is the difference between attachment, which is very pure relationship, which requires a lot of advancement, but that is what is the highest perfection. We can talk about it again later, but thank you very much for very nice. Okay, so I'm sure everybody knows about Sita. She was to be, Janak Maharaj had told that she will be married only to the person who will be able to lift the bow which was given by Lord Shiva. Why this was the deciding factor for her wedding? Why not the way Draupadi's wedding was there, or why not killing 10 elephants or something other? Why was this the condition? Anybody knows this, that reason?
Because she childhood she had picked up the bow.
When she was 6 years old, basically this Lord Shiva's dhanush or bow, which was coming in the heritage of King Janak, was so heavy that every day he used to worship it because it was coming in generations. He was gifted, his grandfather was gifted with this bow. And it was so heavy that 300 men were required to carry. 300 soldiers would carry. And every day, because it was of Lord Shiva, Janak Maharaj would go and worship this bow. So one day when he went to worship as usual, that time Mother Sita was a child, 6 years old girl. And when he went, he saw that she was trying to clean that area and put the flowers and everything ready. So what she had done, she had carried that bow in one hand and then she was cleaning that area and then she kept it back and then she put the flowers and everything. And when King Janak saw this, he was amazed. For years together, this was a ritual in their place that whenever this area had to be cleaned, 300 soldiers would come. Not one or two, 300. And this girl at 6 years of age had just easily picked up. And that amazed him. And that made him realize. Anyhow, she was born in a very mystical way, right? Her name Sita comes that because she came through the plowing the field. So he knew that she is not ordinary. But this made him think that she is really different personality. And definitely, she cannot be married to a person who cannot even carry this bow. And that is why that time he had decided that only the person at least who can, that should be the test minimum for her husband. And that is why this had come. Okay? And then, as everybody knows, when her finally, the wedding had to be done, and when that, when it was announced and many kings came for the Swayamvar, we all know that so many kings went and then so many failed, and Ravana came, and Ravana said, this is Shiva's bow. Big deal about it. What he had done before, he had not only carried Shiva, he had carried one Kailash, if somebody knows about this pastime. Once Ravana had carried whole entire Kailash, which is having Shiva, Lord Shiva on it. He said, what bow of Shiva? I had carried the whole Kailash with Shiva on it, so I can definitely carry. So with his big proud chest, he came and he talked about his greatness, and then he was going to lift the bow. But anybody knows the second part of it? What had happened when he had carried Kailash?
Yeah, I think it was said that if he could carry the Kailash back to Lanka, he would become invincible. And then he had to stop and keep down Kailash or Shivling he was carrying somewhere, so as to stop him from being invincible. If I'm not wrong, Narada came and disturbed his
Basically, Lord Shiva himself, yeah.
Lord Shiva.
Is I'm not stuck with
other. Yes. Yeah. Basically, he thought he'll carry it. He tried to carry it. But finally, when Lord Shiva realized what he's trying to do with Lord Shiva's potency, his hand got stuck and he just couldn't take it out. It was actually started bleeding, and Lord Shiva had to mercifully, because he was finally the worshipper of Lord Shiva. And when he started praising Lord Shiva said, okay, tum bhi kya yaad rakhoge? And then he was released. But second part, he never told anybody what had happened to him. He just went and told around everybody that I carried entire Kailash. So same way he came and he finally failed and he was very upset.
So he never really carried Kailash?
No, he could not carry Kailash. He had just lifted, he tried to lift, but he couldn't carry. Okay, so we all know that Lord Ram came finally and then he very easily picked up, then he strung and then he also broke it in very easily. And what happened when he broke, the tumultuous sound which came made all the kings and princes who were gathered there, they all fell down from their seat and they all became unconscious, they fainted. Except Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Janak and Vishwamitra. These five people did not faint. Rest everybody fainted. That time, when finally the ring ceremony was happening, Mother Sita gave her most beautiful ring to Lord Ram. It's the same ring which Lord Ram gave to Hanuman to give message when he went as Dut. And that time Lord Ram told that I do not have anything to reciprocate with you at this moment because I had just come out with Vishwamitra to kill the demons. I'm not carrying anything. So in return, I'm giving you the vow of Eka Patni Vrata. I will never marry or think of any other woman in my life. And in that time, if you know, King Janak himself had more than one. His own father Ram, Dasharath, had many wives. That time it was a norm to have many wives. So for a lady or a queen to have a husband only to herself and not have one more person competitor was a great boon in itself. And this one vow, Lord Ram followed throughout his life. And that was a big vow, very important vow which he had taken. Then we all know that they went, lived for very happily for a few years and finally they were banished. And they went to forest for 13 years, right? So, what I wanted to point one important thing during this, that when Ram was banished, he came back to the palace and told her, please take good care of my parents just like your own parents. Take care of Bharat like your own brother and take care of Shatrughna like your own son. And Sita is wondering, why are you telling me all these things? I'm your wife, I will take care of all the people. Then he said that, but I will have to leave for forest according to Mother Kaikeyi's desire. And then she says, no, my father has married me to you, not to everybody else. And that's why I must follow you. And then she gives lot of arguments. And then understanding that she is actually a princess who has never even walked barefoot on a ground, how is she going to come to the forest? Everybody tells her, don't go. But she is very determined to follow her husband. And that time she makes a very important statement. She tells, let me go in front of you. And I will with my own feet crush all the thorns and stones so that they do not hurt you, my dear Lord Ram. Knowing what is her condition, how delicate she is, but still she had desire and determination to come and serve her own Lord. And that was her desire, determination, and that's why finally Lord agreed to take her. And then Lakshman also said, okay, I will go with you. So all of them went. Second thing, if we are in this situation, what will we think about Kaikeyi? She never thought any evil. Speaking is a different thing, but she never even had a evil thought about Mother Kaikeyi. Why did she do like this? What right did she have to send away my husband just before coronation? And that is her greatness. Third, she always served Ram very chastely and very sincerely. And not only that, at times she would ask Ram, are you doing this correctly? As for example, in forest when he would kill the demons, sometimes she would sit and ask, why did you kill this demon? He is killing demons, which is right. But she would ask him, was it correct? are you killing at a wrong time? Are you killing after sunset, which is not good? She would inquire gently to her husband in such a way that Ram finally told that you are doing very nice service, that without hurting me, you are trying to keep me on path. Why? Because as a Kshatriya, I would like to kill criminals. It gives me happiness and gives me pleasure. And I have a reason to kill. But at the same time, I cannot be fanatic even about killing demons. And you are trying to keep me at guard. And I need to follow even the rules and regulations when it comes to things which I need to do and what I would like to do. And that is how, as a wife, she also would try and keep her husband on track. And that is what is a loving relationship can do. Anybody knows the story of Jayant? Who was Jayant? Jayant. Once when they were sitting in Panchavati, which is near Nashik if you go now, Lord Ram was sleeping in the lap of Mother Sita. And he just fell asleep. And that time, one crow came and started biting on the chest, or basically poking his beak on the chest of Mother Sita. And he was Jayant, son of Indra. And she did not want to disturb her husband. So initially she just kept on pushing him away. But when Jayant was very much adamant and he was again and again picking, she finally could not take that pain and she woke up Lord Ram. And as soon as Lord opened his eyes and when he saw that she was bleeding, he just took a blade of grass from the side and powered it like a very powerful Brahmastra and left on Jayant. And Jayant ran, flew for his life, going from Brahmaloka to Shivaloka to all the lokas. Finally, when he went to Indraloka to his father said, run away from here, otherwise we'll give trouble to us also. And finally he had to come and beg, fell, and he had to fall at feet of Mother Sita. And that time Mother Sita dragged him to Ram and told Lord Ram, please forgive him. And because Mother Sita told, Lord Ram forgave him. And that time, Lord Ram said that now when the Astra has come, it cannot go back like that. So let him pierce his right eye. And his one eye was pierced, but his life was saved. This is the mercy or compassion of mother's heart. She was always very compassionate. And that is what you will see. That whatever demons came, whenever Mother Sita was there, they were not killed. They were punished. Jayant. Any other demon when Mother Sita was there? Suruchi should know.
Surpankha.
Surpankha also, when she came, she was disfigured. But she was not killed. Sita was there. Ravana was killed. Sita was not there. If Sita would have been there, she would have also told to forgive Ravana. That is what is said in Ramayana. That was the heart of Mother Sita. Then why such much qualified lady had to suffer? Why she had to undergo that separation from her most beloved husband for 1 year? Why she was banished and why she had to give Agni Pariksha at the end of it? What was the reason? It started with
illusion.
Actually speaking, I'll go back a little bit. It actually started with Surpankha, who wanted to enjoy Ram, taking Sita away. And when she was disfigured, she went and provoked Ravana, saying that most beautiful lady should be your wife. And then the whole story started. So that way actually, Ramayana is all ladies, you know, Kaikai, Manthara, Surpankha. Okay, so when Ravana got Marichi, we all know, in the form of golden deer, when the golden deer was jumping around the ashram or the kutir of Lord Ram and Sita, Lakshmana saw the deer and he said, this is not deer, this is a demon, don't go behind it. But Sita was really allured by the beauty and that life which was represented by that golden deer. And that time she said, Ram, please bring this. It's only now 1 year left. Next year we will be going back and I want to bring back this deer with us to Ayodhya. And then she will be, this deer will be with us and it will be so nice, let us take it back. And when Lord Ram said, okay, I will go and bring this deer, again Lakshmana said, don't go, this is not a real deer. This is a demon. I feel this is a demon, so there is no point running behind it. And then Ram said, if it is demon, it needs to be killed, I will kill it. Don't worry, I'm not going to be in danger. But you take care of Sita and let me go. And Mariksha, we know, took Ram quite dense, in the dense breast, in the dense forest. And then finally, he was killed. And we know that he made the sound of Ram. That time, what did Sita do? Sita came into anxiety. And in anxiety, fear, out of her love and attachment to her husband, her buddhi or her intelligence was stolen. And what happened? She started offending Lakshmana. When she told Lakshmana, you go, Lakshmana knew this is not Ram. Ram cannot be affected. This is definitely the demon. He anyhow in his heart from beginning he knew that this is demon. So he knew that this is all trick going on. I'm not going to get affected. So when he refused to go, she started offending Lakshmana. And what are the offensive words which she used? Anybody knows? Yes. That you are such a person that you always wanted to enjoy me. At this time when your brother has gone, you are very happy in your heart that he is being killed. And now you are taking this opportunity to have good life with me. You want to enjoy me. And this is what you are always wanted to do. And you are just like a jackal or a dog who is ready to eat the food of the master when the master goes away. And such piercing words when Mother Sita told Lakshman, obviously he was completely shattered. And that time he decided to go according to the desire of Mother Sita. He did not want to leave Mother Sita, but he knew that he has to go and the trouble can come. And that time what did he do? He drew Lakshman Rekha. We all know that he drew Lakshman Rekha and he went. But when he told Mother Sita, at any cost, do not cross this line. Correct? But she finally crossed the line. So she did these three things. First, she sent away the real absolute truth, her own husband, who is not separate, who is actually the Supreme Lord, for what? To run behind an illusory deer. First mistake. We all do in our life. We have Lord with us all the time in our heart, just like she has Lord Ram. We have Lord in our own heart, who is accompanying us all the time, who is waiting for us to look at Him. He is ready to help us. But what do? We try to find happiness in this illusory deer all around us. And we leave and reject the Lord to get the pleasure of this world. Money, car, degree, this, that, so many things. But the Lord, we just reject Him. Second thing we do, what do we do? Lord sends His messenger who is always there to tell us what is right, what is wrong. We start doubting them. And that, not only that, we offend them. And when we offend the Lord's pure devotees, difficulties are ensured. Even after offending, if that is not enough, when they tell us to do something and to avoid something, we do the last thing. We break or we overgo the instructions of the messengers of Lord or our protectors. And that is the invitation of destruction or difficulties in our life. First we reject the Lord, then we reject His messengers, offend them, doubt them, and third, we do not follow their instructions. And when a person or when a jiva does these three things, who can help the person? And that is what happened to Mother Sita. So now we all should know that why did she suffer? It is described that she did not have to give Agni Pariksha to prove her chastity. That was external reason. Internal reason Acharya has described that because she had offended Lakshmana, who was actually so pure in his intention, that is why the suffering had to come to her. The way Bhishma, being pure and chaste throughout his life, had to suffer because of one reason. He kept quiet during
Draupadi Vastraharan. Similarly, she had to take this back, Agni Pariksha. Every time we ask why she was asked for Agni Pariksha. Because we think she was pure. Yes, she is pure, no doubt about it. But this was a reaction she had to take because she offended Lakshmana in her his intention, which was absolutely she had. So even if you being a Lord is teaching us that you may be the consort of my own life, you may be my own wife, but if you offend a Vaishnava or you offend a pure devotee, you cannot be spared. So now we all know the stories. So I'm not going to talk about the stories. Now the Ram's search is going to start. So if first thing which starts is they meet Ram and Lakshman, now who have come back, and then they realize that Sita is gone, they start looking for her, searching for her, and first person they meet is Jatayu. Everybody knows story of Jatayu, so I just want to ask everybody, what are the lessons which we can learn from Jatayu's life or whatever this episode? one lessons, everybody come fast.
To his capacity, he tried his best.
Okay. To his capacity, he tried his best. Second lesson.
He fought till death.
He fought till death. So give your best. Okay.
He was courageous.
He was courageous.
He remained loyal to that Raghu clan.
Correct.
That he belongs.
Yes. Dipal was saying something?
In spite the fact that the demon was 100 times more powerful than him, even then he fought.
Very good. I am now looking for one more. We have almost covered many things.
Giving life in service of Lord is better than doing anything.
And even in death, he held his life till he met Rama to give the last message of what happened to Sita.
Okay. Anything?
Anyone can engage in the service of the Lord, even a
vulture. Even a vulture can use his life into service. Very good, you have covered most of the point. One extra thing what I was looking for, everybody heard whatever others shared? One thing what Deepak Prabhu said, that he, knowing the power of Ravana, still he decided to go into that battle. That is one thing. And second thing is, not even when, even not expected to do so. Okay, I'll give the understanding. Mother Sita, when she saw Jatayu when she was being kidnapped, she started calling him, "Oh Jatayu, I know that you are too old and Ravana is too strong. You cannot even stop us or you cannot save me from him. I am just requesting you that soon Lord Ram will come. Please just tell him that this wretched Ravana is taking me." This was almost expected out of him. So many times we know that this is too much for us. We don't need to do it. And especially when it is not asked. You didn't tell us. You just wanted us to do this. We did that much. He could have done that. But he knew that though his capacity is nothing and finally he'll have to lose his life, he was ready to serve the Lord. And he told Ravana that till I'm alive, till there is any strength left in me, you will fail to take Mother Sita from here. And then we all know that they fought. And at the end, finally, his wings and legs were cut and Ravana finally fled from there. And when Lord Ram came, he gave the message. So the message which we take from Jatayu's life in our life, many times, we are told to do at least minimum this much. And many times, just taking that minimum, we just want to be happy. I am told to do this much, let me just do this much. And when we know that we can try better, we should give our best to the Lord. And what is the result? When he finally passed away, Lord Ram was embracing him and crying like a child. And that time Lord Ram made one statement. Anybody? He said that today the pain of even losing Sita is overpowered by losing my most dear devotee Jatayu. My father Dasharath, I could not do the last rite, but I will do last rite myself personally for Jatayu, just like I am his own son. This is what the reward comes when we give our life for Lord. And that time, Lord personally said that today I liberate the soul of Jatayu to directly go and reside in the heavenly, in the Vaikuntha planet. Yes.
You got a better appraisal.
Yes, higher appraisals. Yes. So this is what is the message, that many times we may feel that this is not in our capacity, but Lord sees the efforts, not the result. Externally he was a failure, but actually he was a winner. Actually he won the battle. Okay. Next, then they met Sabri. Everybody knows the pastime of Sabri. Everybody knows Kabandha. Then they met Kabandha. Huh? Yeah.
There's the mountain.
He was a huge demon like a mountain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they came in front. When they are going ahead, Jatayu just told that your wife Sita has been stolen by Ravana, the king of demons, and he has gone in southern direction. So they just kept on going in southern direction. Then they met Sabri. When they came ahead, suddenly they came across a big demon which was just like a mountain, and the most deadly thing about him, or well, most dangerous or the thing about it was that this demon had no head. His eye was in his chest and his mouth was in tummy, on his tummy. And he had 8 miles long hands. So, gruesome or so fearful, right? And what did he do? He just took Ram and Lakshman in one hand and started eating them. Brought them towards his mouth just to eat them. And Ram actually felt that time that there is the end of our life. And Lakshman did not know what to do. But somehow he gathered strength and he started shouting to Lord Ram, kill him, let's cut, like throw our, use our arrows and at least try our best. But Ram actually that time had, and because he was so depressed, he was so sad at the loss of Sita, that he thought life is going, okay, let it go. And that time when they started fighting and giving back with their arrows. Initially, the Kabandha was just letting all the arrows just, he was just shredding his, just moving his shoulders and all, everything was just falling, you know. And that time, after some time, Kabandha started talking to them that actually I don't want to eat both of you, because I've realized that you both are the Ram and Lakshman and I've been waiting for you for many years. And I am a Gandharva who was cursed by Ashtavakra Muni when I laughed at his very bad looking, odd looking body, and I was cursed to become very bad looking or ugly features, and I was told that after many years when you two will come and when you will dig me alive, you will put into a big dig, you will make a big hole, and then you have to actually dig me alive and then put me on fire, my life will be released. So I am begging you, please do this for me. And then I will tell you, in return, I will help you. So then according to his desire, Lord Ram and Lakshman, they made a big khadda in the ground. And then they put his body, which was really very big and heavy. And then they put fire. And then his soul got released. And Gandharva appeared in front of them. And that time the Gandharva praised them, thanked them and told that you should go and make alliance with Sugriva, who is at Pampa Sarovar, enclosed by Rishimukh Mountain, and he will help you with his Vanar Sena to get Sita back. And after Kabandha, then they went, they made alliance with Sugriva. Now I'll go directly to Hanuman. We all know about Hanuman, how valiant he was and how hero he is. But when he decided, or when he was told that he should go in south to search for Mother Sita, he came to the end of the land. They came to the sea and then did not know what to do. And that time, all the monkeys with Jamun, they are sitting and now thinking what to do next, they don't know. And then they started thinking, there is no way. We have already come to the end of south, we can't find Ravana. So it seems we should give up our life. So they all started fasting till death. All the monkeys started fasting till death. There is no point going back to Ram with such failure. And we were told that south is Sita. We have come till the end of the south land now. There is nothing left. So we better give up our life. And when they all were just sitting and almost like for many days when they had not eaten, they were so weak. One big vulture came thinking that I am going to eat all these monkeys for life. And that big vulture was
Sampati,
who was brother of
Jatayu.
And Sampati came thinking, I'm going to eat all these monkeys. And when he came nearby, he heard this all monkeys talking about Jatayu's great sacrifice. And as soon as he heard his brother's name, he asked, how come you are talking about Jatayu? And when they told the sacrifice of Jatayu, he had tears in his eyes. And Sampati said, you are talking about my brother. He has given his life for Ram. I will also give my life for Ram. And that time he said that, I am very old vulture. I can see that the king of Ravana is across the ocean. It's not here. Still further down, across the ocean, where Lanka is there. So Sampati actually gave them the direction to Lanka. And that time, everybody was now discussing who will go to Lanka. So somebody comes and says, this is 800 miles long. I can jump till 100 miles long. One monkey comes and says, 100 miles, 200 miles, 300 miles. But then finally they'll fall in the ocean, right? So Angad, who is son of Bali, who was the prince of the Vanar Sena, he comes and says, I can jump 800 miles. But I'm not confident whether I can come back. Then what is the point? And Hanuman at that time was sitting on one side and he was thinking, not sure what he should be saying. And that time Jamvant came and told and reminded Hanuman of his power. He told, you can go. He told that I'm actually Angad, that you are equally strong. You can jump and you can jump back. But you are the prince and we cannot spare you because you are the prince of our kingdom, our whole entire army. And we cannot take risk on you. But Hanuman can do the same thing, so let Hanuman go. And when Hanuman was given this confidence, he told, okay, I will go and come back with full confidence in Ram that he will make me successful, but all of you wait here. And when he took jump, now are our next three lessons coming up before we end. When he jumped, he took a leap, huge leap, from the tip of a mountain. And with his strength, the mountain, the peak of the mountain from where he had jumped, it actually went inside the water. That much of strength he had. And when he was going on his way, first came
a demon.
Okay. Now, before that,
the mountain. The sea mountain.
A long golden mountain came and appeared in front of Hanuman. And that mountain is called Mainaka Mountain. Mainaka Mountain came, the personification of Mainaka Mountain came and told that, oh Hanuman, I am the friend of your father. And we have very good friendship. He has helped me many times. And I want to serve you. Please take rest on my peaks for a while. Let me serve you. And then you can continue with your journey to serve Lord Ram. And that time Hanuman said,
No rest.
I'm on my mission to serve my Lord Ram. And till I finish my mission, now there is no question of rest. What is the lesson in this? We all are on our mission. What is our mission? To go back to Godhead, to serve. Now when we have got the mission of our life, finally, we have to succeed by pleasing and serving the Lord and His devotees, chanting His name and making our human life successful by making the best use of it. Once we have been given this mission, once we have convinced about this mission, once we start on the journey, there is no rest. And the first thing which happens in our life, most of you who are here for a few years, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, When we start coming in association, we are very enthusiastic. Yes, chanting, going for all programs, doing everything. After 1 year, 2 year, alternate time also chalega. Nahi gaya to bhi chalega. Two rounds chalega. So gaya to bhi chalega. What happens? Complacency. Right? We start taking things lightly. The first difficulty in a life of a sadhaka comes is complacency. We start taking things of life. And the day you sink down or when you take up by this difficulty, the spiritual life, in that matter, anything, whatever you have taken, your mission will start going down. The first lesson Hanumanji teaches us, never succumb to complacency. The time you have become complacent, understand failure can come upon you anytime. He says no. He just touches Mainaka Mountain, gives all the respect because he is the friend of his father, and then tells that maybe later sometime I will come to take a rest, but at this time I cannot take any risk. And same should be mood of each one of us. The time we think, I can do this later also, I can chant later also, I can meet devotees later also, I can do our things, PhD later also, that later will take us somewhere different direction. Never become loose in our goals. Next, he continued flying, and the next demon came was? Somebody had spoken about that demon. Surasa. The next came was Surasa demon. The Surasa demon came. She was very ugly looking, big demon. She was sent actually by demigods to take the test of Hanuman. She came in front of Hanuman and she said, "Hey monkey, where are you going? You have come as food for me. I cannot let you go." Hanuman said, "Please go away. I don't have time to argue with you also. I have my mission." So she said, "No. I have got boon from Brahmaji that anybody which passes from this part of area has to enter my mouth. It means I have to devour that person. So now you have come here, so you have to enter my mouth." So Hanumanji says, "Please forgive me. I am really in hurry. Do not take away my time." She says, "No, this is a boon and I will not let you go." So she opens her mouth. So Hanumanji is also mysterious. He becomes bigger than her. Then she opens her mouth still bigger. And then he becomes bigger than her. Like that, she kept on opening her mouth till her mouth became 80 miles long. All the her upper jaw is touching the sky and her mouth is the lower jaw is touching the, how it is described in Ramayana, is touching the water down. And Hanumanji is also becoming big, big. Now when her mouth has really become huge, suddenly what did Hanumanji do? He shrunk himself to size of a small insect, very small. He entered her mouth and before even she closes, he came out. And when she closed her mouth, he was out. And then he said that, "Okay, I have now fulfilled your vow. I have entered your mouth and I have come out. So now you have to let me go because I have fulfilled your vow." And that time, Surasa became very happy. What is the lesson Ramayana teaches us in this pastime? The next difficulty which comes in our life is
obstacles.
This obstacle is what?
Ego.
I'm big. Ego. Pride. When we come, and we devotees, we don't know anything. I'm still a neophyte. I need to know more things. After 2 years, I also know. After 10 years, अरे हमने भी क्या ऐसे ही बाल नहीं सफेद किए हमको भी पता है राइट स्लोली स्लोली द ह्यूमिलिटी स्टार्ट्स फ्लाइंग अवे एंड देन वी स्टार्ट फीलिंग वी आर वेरी प्राउड वी स्टार्ट गेटिंग प्राइड एंड द प्राउड वी बिकम बिगर वी बिकम वी इनवाइट मोर डिफिकल्टीज ऑन अस द बेस्ट थिंग टू बिकम और सेव अवर लाइफ इज टू बिकम स्मॉल हम्बल ह्यूमिलिटी इज द क्वालिटी विच कैन सेव अ डिवोटी at any point of life. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Truna the peace leech, you should be humbler than a blade of grass. And this humility only and only is the quality of a spirituality seeking person. This is the quality which attracts the mercy of the Lord. And that is what Hanumanji showed and taught us in this pastime, that when we become humble, it will save our life and spirituality. That time Surasa told him, "Okay, now I bless you, please go ahead." Then he started going ahead. And then he met next demon. Her name was?
Simhika.
When he was flying, suddenly he felt a lot of resistance. He was not able to move. And he was wondering, why? What is happening? And it's perfectly, he said. He realized that somebody on the water is holding on.
On his shadow.
And that was the demoness called Simhika. She had the power of catching hold of shadow of any jiva or anything which was flying, and then he can drag, she could drag him down and devour that person. So she had stepped on the shadow of Hanumanji, and then she was trying to drag him down and she wanted to devour him. And Hanumanji kept on requesting her, leave me, leave me. But she was not ready to leave him. Finally, when she started dragging and pulling him down, finally Hanumanji went and entered the mouth of Simhika, and he went into the throat, and she thought she is going to swallow him. But what did he do? He went right into her stomach. From there, he pierced open her stomach, her abdominal wall, and he came out, and Surasa was dead. What is this Surasa representative of? The next thing, she had the power of mind. Yes, mind is one of the bad qualities. Finding faults and dragging people down, when you look at their bad qualities. When we see people around, none of us are pure. We all have some of the other shortcomings in us, shortcomings with us. But when we develop the quality of looking bad, fly mentality, look at somebody's bad quality and start pulling them down, ye to aisa hai, ye to aisa hai, ye to hamesha aisa hi karta hai. In Singapore, never does this. Right? They always talk like this. Never comes. Ek bar nahi gaya temple, they bolenge, he never comes. So, this quality of fault finding, when we start finding fault with others, and we start dragging that down, making a small thing into big thing, inflating, and offending others, finally it causes difficulty. And what is the solution of it? Surasa was killed, ripped apart, not forgiven, not punished. Similarly, we have to kill this quality of fault finding in others. Fault finding comes from envy. And when we are able to kill this envy from our heart, when we are able to happily see others do well, and when we stop pulling others down for our growth, that is the time when we will be able to make progress.
It's
8:30. Yes, we are coming out. So anyhow, this is the second last one demon we talk about, and then we are finishing. And then finally he landed at Lanka. And at Lanka, when he was almost going to go into the fort and then cross the fort and go into inside the Lanka, he was stopped by one demon called Lankini. And Lankini told, where are you going? You just can't go like this. I am the fortress. I am the master of this Lanka. And you are just like a thief. You are trying to go inside. You cannot go. And that time, Hanuman says, you are calling me a thief. Your master is a thief. He has stolen my master's wife, and you are calling me thief. So Lankini said, anything, whatever it may be, but I am his servant and I will not let you go in. And Hanumanji said, don't do time pass, I don't have time. He just came and gave one big tight slap behind the ears of Lankini. And she was a big demoness. But just with one big tight slap from Hanuman, she fell down. And when she got up, she came and did what? Do what? She didn't give one back. She fell at the feet of Hanumanji. And she told that Brahma had told me that one day when one monkey will come and slap you, that time you understand that the time of destruction of Lanka has come. Now I've understood that the time of destruction of Lanka has come. I give you permission, please go inside. And then Hanumanji went inside. There are many, many lessons. But this last lesson, what does Lankini teaches us? When a messenger of Lord comes, and sometimes we start doubting them, when they give us big tight slap, become humble. At least that time accept that now is the time to accept the orders of a devotee or a messenger of Lord. That time also, if he will not wake up, if that time she would have resisted, the next was she would have been finished. So in Lord Ram's Ramayan, from beginning to end, any pastime we take, there are so many lessons for us to practically apply in our life. We did not think this was Treta Yuga and we cannot do all these things at this time. We can definitely follow all these things and we can follow and make our life successful. One point which I really heard, which really made something very big which I came across something I understood now, that if we see the demons, Vritrasur, Ravana. Ravana was a worshipper of Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyakashipu, they were worship
Brahma.
Brahma. Right? So if you see in the history, Vritrasur, Narakasur, they would worship either Brahma or Shiva. Brahma or Shiva. Nobody worshipped ever Vishnu. So the message what I was trying to understand was just when I was reading, I was just thinking that finally Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are what? Expansion of Lord in the mode of goodness and in mode of passion and in mode of ignorance. They are not separate existence per se. They are basically expansion of the Lord. But when it comes to a devotee, he worships Lord Vishnu. And when you worship Brahma or Shiva, basically for anybody that matter, for your own selfish motives, what finally you achieve is the destruction. So it's not that one should not worship Shiva. When you worship Shiva and Brahma with motivation of finally serving the Supreme Lord, they are happy. They are themselves very great devotees, and they give all the benedictions and help for us to go to Vishnu. But then when I was just analyzing this point, I remember for the first time it struck me that all the demons always worship Brahma and Shiva. They never worship, none of the demons we have ever heard worshipping Vishnu.
Actually, I heard somewhere that it's much easier to please them.
Yeah.
So they do crash course.
No, yeah, that another thing which I realized, that Brahma and Shiva being demigods, they will give you, do this much amount of austerity, they will have to give you the benediction. But Vishnu will not do that. How much ever benedictions you or austerities you do, but if you don't deserve it, or if you think it is not good for you, he will not give you. So the difference is that Brahma and Shiva will give what you want, and Vishnu gives what you need and deserve, not what you want. That is the difference. Okay, thank you very much. I think we should stop here. There are a lot of things, but we should stop here, I think. Thank you very much. Okay, last one, this part, sorry, can I say? Last part. So sorry, Prabhuji. Really greatness of Mother Sita. That when finally the war was over, and Hanuman went personally first time, like he himself first went, to tell Mother Sita that Ravana has been killed and Rama has been victorious, and that happiness. And she was very happy. Obviously, she was very happy. And then she said, I want to give you something, but what can I give you at this moment? He said, just give me one permission. What? I want to kill all these Rakshasas around you. I had seen when I came last time to meet you, I had seen how they were torturing you. And what I want to do is, I want to take each one of them turn by turn, I want to smash them. I want to break their bones. I want to actually bite their nose and ears. I want to really torture them and then kill them. She was so angry because they had tortured Mother Sita. And that time Mother Sita says this, which was very heart-melting. She says that kindness is to be shown by a noble person either towards a sinner or to a virtuous person or even to a person who deserves death. For there is none who never commits a wrong. And she says, please forgive him. And then she tells a story, which is a very nice story. Basically, she tells Hanuman, please forgive them. And can this compassion come from an ordinary person? That is the compassion of a mother, that she is always ready to forgive the offenses, even somebody who has tortured herself, and then still she is merciful to them. And that is why, though it be Ram Navami, what should we do? Take shelter of Mother
Sita.
Because we also have demons in our heart. We also give trouble to our parents, Father Ram and Mother Sita. But when Mother Sita tells Lord Ram that though they are sinful, please forgive them and take them in your shelter, Ram will not refuse. So best way is always to take shelter of the mother and then go to the father. And that is why, though it be Ramanavami, we should always pray to Mother Sita together. And that is how our life will be perfect. Thank you.
Then why do you celebrate her birthday?
We celebrate her birthday also, Sita Navami also.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so are we supposed to move out now? 5 minutes we do kirtan.
5 minutes
we do kirtan. It's okay. Okay, anybody has questions? We can take questions at this time because. Yeah. Oh, after 5. Okay, we go back. Okay. So this is what we wear. So these are the qualities which I have just summarized. The obviously she is personification of all good qualities, but the she is separate from other entities or other is first is because of her epitome of mercy as we described and tolerance. Later on, if you want, I will tell you the story when we go out while having dinner, the story which she told Hanuman. Then she was completely surrendered to Ram, and during her 1 year stay in Ashok Vatika, Ravana had tried using Sham, Dam, Dandabhed, everything to allure her, to convince her to get married. First he gave all the reasons why he has everything, he can provide her with everything and why she should just accept him as her husband. Second, when she was not agreeable, he tried to torture her through different demonesses. She did not come under control. Third, he got a illusionary head of Ram and told that now he is dead. Now you have no choice to go back to Ram. At least now marry me. That time also she rejected. Let me die, but I will never come under you. And that time, when Mother Sita thought that Ram is actually killed and he has taken the life of Lord Ram, she rejected outrightly his proposal, but when he went away, she was actually very depressed. She started thinking that what is the use of my life? Let me commit suicide. Let me end my life. And that time, who came there? Vibhishan's wife. Vibhishan's wife came there and she told that was actually a illusionary head. And do not worry, your husband Lord Ram can never be conquered and can never be killed. And this is again a lesson. Even in devotional life, sometimes we come under doubt. Are we doing right thing? Is something wrong happening in my life? What will happen to me? Am I doing correct thing? Will I ever reach the final destination? But when these doubts try to clog or cloud our consciousness and make us feel sad, that time, who helps us? A devotee. Be in association of devotee, because they can see the truth and they will help you remove the cloud and regain your confidence on Lord and His mercy. And that was the role of Vibhishan's wife. And obviously it is described that she is embodiment of devotional service, bhakti herself. And that's why in the beginning, like I thought we are ending, so we should always pray to Mother Sita or to Radharani or to Lakshmi Devi that without their mercy, the Lord never can give His bhakti to us. Crisis come in everybody's life, and that is what Lord Ram shows in his life. He being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he plays a role of a mortal being, he shows that how many crises, turn by turn, keeps on coming in his life. One simple example, he was called to Dasarath's palace to be informed that tomorrow is your coronation ceremony. So when he went with huge procession, with a big chamara on his head, with lot of soldiers, lot of brahmanas, and he was garlanded, and then with huge procession he went, with horses and elephant, he went to the Dasarath palace because he was to be informed about the coronation. But when he went, the scene had changed. Mother Kaikeyi informed, Dasarath could not inform, Mother Kaikeyi informed that your father's wish is that these are the two bulls are taken from him. And he said very patiently, Mother, I would have accepted these two boons even if you would have told me this is your desire. Why you are taking my father's name? And with same patient behavior, he went back to the palace. And he told, like now he is going to face the same Ayodhya Vasis who are very happy making all the preparations. Outside people don't know what has happened in the palace. Nobody has yet been informed. But when he came out, his composure was equally patient. He was completely composed. With the same composed mind, he went back. And he just told all the soldiers and elephants and everybody, just stay back, no need to accompany me, because that accompanies royal prince. In his heart he knew now he is no more a royal prince, he has to leave. But with same composed mind he went back. What does he teach us in his own life? That difficulties and crisis, such things, we will take it as a crisis or wrong. Asman gir gaya, right? We'll think like that, right? Crisis has come. But crisis will come and go. What is required is to use this opportunity to stay strong. and keep your faith alive. Have faith that whatever is happening is for the best. This is the last and very important lesson which we learn, which is described by Sri Sampraday Acharyas, that when we take the example of Ramayan and when we apply in our life, we can use it as an analogy. The way Sita was captured in the city of Lanka, similarly our soul or this jiva is captured in this body, right? And what we do in this body is we are covered, our intelligence is covered, our memory is covered, that we are part and parcel of God and we need to take shelter of Him and we need to be reunited with Him. Similarly, this jiva is covered the way Sita was taken away from Lord, the jiva is taken away from the Supreme Lord. Sita was taken against her wish, we are covered because of our own wish. And that time, if we have sincere desire, Lord sends His messengers in the form of Lakshman, in the form of Hanuman, who has all the empowerment, who has all the desire to reunite Sita with Ram. The messengers of Lord have all the desires and they have all the weapons, they have all the ways to reunite this jiva who are forgotten back to the Supreme Lord. But what is required? Obedience. Acceptance. If we reject Lakshmana's protection, spiritual master's protection, or Lord's pure devotee's protection, then we will invite the miseries. But if we accept their guidance and we take the help of Lord's messenger like Hanuman, then that is the key of going back to God or getting reunited. When we want to enjoy, when a jiva wants to enjoy energy of the Lord. This world is what? Energy of the Lord, right? He is external energy. This is external energy of the Lord. And when we want to enjoy it by keeping Lord outside, that is Ravana mentality. Ravana wanted to enjoy Sita without Ram. So when we want to enjoy this world without Lord in it or without having Lord in our life, we are tiny Ravanas. Or other way, Surpankha wanted to enjoy Ram by keeping Sita out of picture. Similarly, when we want to enjoy this world without Lord in our life, then we become Ravana. But when our endeavors become like Hanuman, by trying to get Sita and Ram united, our soul can actually get reunited with the Supreme Lord. So this is an analogy which is described by Sri Sampraday Acharyas from Ramayan. Yes, thank you very much.
We're going to tell the story of Ramdas.
Okay, last. Okay, this question has been asked many times, it appears many times, that's why I had kept that story. And that in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going on his South India tour, he met with a Brahmana whose name was Ramdas. Why? Because he was a great devotee of Lord Ram. In his heart, he was such a devout that when he would read Ramayana, he would go into that mood of Ramayana. And he would feel that the Ramayana is happening in front of him. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him, he told him that you are a sannyasi today, why don't you come home for lunch? I'll prepare lunch. So properly in time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his place for lunch. But when he saw, he was seeing that this Brahmana is looking at Ramayana and he's just crying. He has not made any preparations. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what happened? Are you not feeding me lunch? This is the right time or have I come early? And then he's just looking at Ramayana and reading and he's saying, this Ravana has kidnapped Sita. How could he touch Mother Sita? How could he even touch the energy of my Lord? This is something which I cannot accept. And then he's just crying and lamenting because he was in that mood of devotee of Lord Ram. He was feeling that separation. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they started pacifying him. That, but Ramayana is the, and Ram is already won over Ravana and she's come back, so at least now prepare lunch. And then, so then he prepared lunch, but in his heart he was feeling, how could Ravana touch Mother Sita? Mother Sita is a pure energy which is only to be touched by Ram. How could Ravana touch her? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he continued his journey ahead, after a few days, he came across a one original copy of Kurma Puran. In Kurma Puran, the description comes about Vedavasi, that there was a Muni Putri whose name was Vedavati, and when her father died, she was the only young lady who was left, and she had the deep desire to marry only Vishnu. So once in Himalaya, she was doing tapasya to please Vishnu, to get him as her husband. And Ravana was passing by there, and when he saw the beauty of Vedavati, he was allured. And he went and started enticing her and telling her that please marry me. And then she said, sorry, I am going to marry only Vishnu. And when she was not agreeing, he started pulling her with her hair. As soon as he caught hold of her hair, she was so powerful by that time because of the austerities, that she used her hand like a sword. She cut her hair, hairs, and only the hairs came in the hands of Ravana. And that time she said that because you have now touched my body, now my body has become impure and I cannot offer it to Vishnu. So I will enter fire and give up this body. But I curse you that I will become the cause of your death in your next life. This Vedvati entered fire. And when, during Lakshman Rekha, when Sita was going to cross Lakshman Rekha, the Lakshman Rekha was made of fire. So when Sita Maya, the original Sita, when she is entering or crossing, Lord Agnidev took original Sita, and Vedavati in the form of Sita went out of Lakshman Rekha and was captured by Ravana, and she became the cause of destruction of Ravana. And at the end, when the whole war was over, when she is brought back in the form of Agni Pariksha, Vedavati re-enters the fire and Agnidev gives back original Sita to Lord Ram. So actually Mother Sita was never touched. The original Mother Sita was never touched by Ravana. So this comes into Kurma Purana. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this and he brought personally, made a copy and came to this Ramdas and told him, read this. Mother Sita was never touched. Do not worry now. Be peaceful. So this is the pastime where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows he is not separate from Ram, he is not separate from Krishna. But compassion for his pure devotee who is so caring about his Lord, and he walked back all the way from Kurmakshetra to this Brahmana's place, again in the reverse direction, to just give him a copy of Kurma Purana. So it's very touching when how Lord reciprocates with his devotees.
So it was Vedvati who was not allured by all the Ravana's prolobans,
yeah,
and who had the compassion for all the demons.
Yes.
Not really Mother Sita.
It is described, yeah, but it is described, yeah, it is described that Vedavati is again expansion of the energy of the Lord. So she was empowered by Mother Sita.
Just want to share, the Lord always saves his pure devotees, right? So when the Lord went to Lanka, isn't that he also went to save Ravana, who is also his pure devotee, because he is Ravana in his previous form, it was the doorkeeper of Vishnu. He was cursed to become a demon.
Right.
So didn't the Lord actually, if from outlook, from the outlook we see that the Lord went to save Sita. But actually the Lord is creating one big drama to save the his pure devotees.
Correct, correct. I hope everybody knows this part. Jai Vijay Pasam, that Ravana is one of the Jai Vijay. And then Lord had to kill them also to finish off, so that this souls of Jai Vijaya, who was Kumbhakarna and Ravana, finishes their three roles as demons and finally can go back to their Vaikuntha Loka.
Yes. Devanandan Prabhu told the story.
Okay.
Now, one more thing I'd like to share again.
Last now, okay.
Yeah, about Hanumanji also. After he enters, this is mentioned in Kamba Ramayana, which is the Tamil form of Ramayana by Saint Kamba. 300 years before Tulsidas ji, he wrote Kamba Ramayana in Tamil. And there is this very beautiful part which comes that when Hanumanji meets Sita ji, Sita Mata, and he is so anxious and happy that Sita is okay, I immediately have to tell my Lord. So he wanted to literally shout out and then reach, his voice reached out to Rama and say, I have met Sita. Okay. And so if we put it in Hindi or Tamil, I will put it in Hindi, is it? Sita ji ko dekha. And such is the compassion of Hanuman ji and for his Lord that he thinks that if he utters Sita ji first and then says any information, Rama, who has so much love for Sita ji, the moment he will hear Sita, he will think something wrong has happened and he will give his life. And so in Tamil, he doesn't say आई सीता जी को देखा, लिटरली ही सेज देखा सीता जी को, एंड देन द होल
इंफॉर्मेशन
देखा सीता जी को मैंने, कंडेन रात सीता
ही सेज फाउंड सीता आई,
फाउंड सीता आई,
ही सेज रॉन्ग इंग्लिश मींस रॉन्ग लैंग्वेज, फाउंड सीता आई, वांटेड लॉर्ड टू मेक नो फर्स्ट वर्ड फाउंड, सो द लॉर्ड हार्डली स्पेसिफाइड सीता एंड देन आई बिकॉज ही थॉट I am the most insignificant. If I start with I found Sita, then I is important. But this is how is the humility that he says found Sita I.
Correct. So object, grammar, subject.
Then when you talk to Lord, the Lord's feeling is most important, and you are the most insignificant. Grammar is most insignificant. Okay, so should we stop now? Yes. Hari Bol. There is one devotee who sings something different, so I thought maybe I'll introduce you just new to you before we just sing for 5 minutes Sitaram. Just try to follow. It's a little different for everybody, but it's very sweet, so I thought I'll just share it. Ayodhya Pati Ram, Ram Dashrath Nandana Ram. Ayodhya Pati
Pavana Janaki Jeevana Sita Mohana Ram. Shot the Brahmastra to Jayanta. So he sat in the position with his knee, and like in this position he had sat. So he was actually angry, and the rock below got melted. So those footprints are still there. So by calculating the distance between the two melted footprints, we calculated Rama's height is it was actually supposed to be 28 in Satya Yoga. So just wanted to share this. Okay, remaining part of this program will be outside.
Next week we'll have more discussion.